Greetings, folks. It's good to have you with us once again for our Wednesday night Bible classes. And these classes are being brought to you through the facility of the Midwest Center for Truth, located here in Northwest Arkansas, actually, just outside of Leslie, Arkansas. And all of these sessions are a ministry of CMI Fellowship, and specifically a ministry of CMI Bible Research Center, which is located right here on these grounds. And all of these sessions are a production of CMI Audio Video Network System, being brought to you through Ustream and YouTube. So it's just good to have everyone with us, whether you are local, that is to say, watching somewhere here in this country, or part of the Lord's body in some other country. We are glad to have all of you with us, particularly you who are regularly watching these sessions. And I just want to tell you again, if there's any way we can help you in any way, if we can increase our ministry towards you, please don't hesitate to let us know, and we're just glad to have you, and may the Lord richly bless you. We're dealing with the Feast Day of Atonement. We're talking about the Feast of the Lord, and have been for a long time now. We've come to the Feast of the Seventh Month, and we've talked about the significance of the Seventh Feast and the Seventh Month. It's all coming in type and shadow. It is all coming to a summation, a fulfillment, typically in type, in shadow, a fulfillment in the very person of the Lord Jesus Himself, gathering up all of these feasts as one feast. I think about that, and I think about when Jesus said in John's Gospel, "Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." And then he reckoned that, too, "As my Father lives in me and I live by him, so I live in you and you live by me." So everything in the types and the shadows, whether it's the feasts of Israel, whether it's the sacrifices offered during those feasts, or the sacrifices offered on a daily basis, whether it's the bullock or the goat or the sheep, all of them have meanings, but all of that meaning is summed up in one sacrifice, one obedient son, one Lamb of God. It's all gathered up in Christ Himself. All of it is. And then the tabernacle itself, and the temple itself, and the glory of the Lord that filled both the tabernacle and the temple. All of that comes to its finality, comes to its fullness, comes to its substance in the person of Jesus Christ. Honey, now let me just speak plainly. I don't have a bullock living in me. I've got the Son of God living in me. You understand? Not a type, not a shadow. The turtle dove, the goat, the lamb. We have Christ. And what all those things testified to has been fulfilled in Him, in His death, in His burial, in His resurrection. And today we're going to be talking about the day of which He is the substance, of which He is the boundaries, of which He is the light, of which He is the glory, the day. This day that we're talking about is swallowed up in the day that Christ is. And if that isn't beginning to be a reality in our hearts, then, you know, these feasts are nothing but ancient history. Just ancient history. And hardly that, unless they are summed up in the eternal, ever-living Son of God, who by His Spirit now lives in me, lives in you, lives in the believer. If that is not true, then these feasts are worthless. They're just worthless. And you say, well, you know, to the Jews, they mean something. They mean more to me than they mean to the Jews. You understand that? To me, they mean Christ Himself, who actually liveth in me. To the Jews, there's still some kind of a promise or some kind of a religious ceremony or whatever that is still pointing to a future that is not going to come because it's already past. It's become a religion, just like Christianity was. So many precious Christians have become little more than a religion. But you see, we have come to the person. And that's what we're talking about in all of these sessions. The person unto whom we have come. And so we're looking at that testimony given of God as a testimony of that very Son in Israel. And we're looking at, again, the seventh month, the feast of the seventh month, the feast of the day of the blowing of trumpets, which we've dealt with. Well, we have dealt with. We haven't exhausted. And now, the feast of the Day of Atonement. And we've been looking at that as the Feast of Reconciliation. So we've spent several sessions on reconciliation and atonement. Not so much on atonement, but reconciliation. We may deal with atonement yet before we get off of this, before we go on from this particular feast day, the Day of Atonement. But as I was looking at this yesterday and last night, this morning, the Spirit of the Lord just focused upon the day. And I want to read in a manual that I am using here as an outline. This manual that I'm using is a manual that we have in our library. It's a good manual, and it's written by a good brother, the name of which manual I'll not give you, nor the brother either, because I'm not speaking critically at all. I'm simply just, well, speaking. But this brother who and the manual, which is correct in, I suppose, most all of its historical settings, and in that it is a testimony of Christ, it's just that we're presenting it as a fulfilled testimony of Christ, not one yet to come. This dear brother had, whether he's still alive or not, I don't know, but he has a problem with dispensationalism and declaring that part of this, some of these feasts are fulfilled and some are yet to come. But darling, Christ is now come. And that's what I've been emphasizing all the way through this. So in using the outline that is here, in a tremendous outline, I've had to just learn to smile at part of it and say, oh, dear brother, that's not the way it's going to be. That's the way it now is in Christ to those who are actually knowing Him. But the reality of these feasts are there. They weren't originated by a workbook written by me or a workbook written by anybody else. They were originated of God and given to Israel, and that's what we're looking at. So let's continue with the Day of Atonement. And I'm going to read some here to you before I get into other notes. The Day of Atonement. And you look at this in Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. And Leviticus 25. Chapter 23, verses 26 through verse 28. Then Leviticus chapter 25, verse 9. And on and on we go. But the Day of Atonement was the most solemn day, the most solemn of all days in Israel. As with Passover, sheaf of first fruits, and Pentecost, so with the Day of Atonement. This day was a literal 24-hour day in Israel in which significant events took place. Now, that's true. And we will look at some of these events because they all relate to what Christ hath done. And then we will relate that to who Christ is. But we'll look at some of those events. High priest going behind the veil is one of those events, to only list one. We'll look at some of those, but we're looking now at the nature and character of this day, which is reconciliation, which also brings us to take a look at redemption, the redeemed, redemption of the Lord, all of that. But primarily, the Day of Atonement. And this day was literal 24-hour day in Israel in which these events took place. Now let me just read something else about this day that I was looking at this morning, a characteristic of this day, a day of holy convocation. A day of holy convocation. Every feast day was a day of holy convocation. We've looked at that before in our study here and on the Sabbath. The Sabbath, which is the, in Israel, the holy convocation of the Lord. Probably the most holy day in Israel. And all of these feasts actually are summed up in that day. These feasts began with the Sabbath. Many of them ends with the Sabbath. The feast of the seventh month ends with an eighth day Sabbath. Not a Sabbath on the seventh day at all, but a Sabbath on the eighth day. And it is the Sabbath that sums up all of the other Sabbath days relating to the feast of Israel throughout the whole year. They're summed up in that 1 8 day Sabbath. It happens to be historically the day when Jesus stood and showed himself on that great day, that Sabbath day of the Feast of Tabernacles, when he said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me," and all that he said. But he stood up in the very midst of that feast and declared himself to Israel. As far as I am personally concerned, he fulfilled the seventh month feast right there when he stood up and declared himself to be what that feast was all about. Just like he stood up in the synagogue and opened the book, the scrolls, the scripture, and declared himself to be what all those scriptures were pointing to, what all those scriptures were a testimony concerning. Blessed be the Lamb of God. So many times when he stood up and called attention, he was declaring himself to be the very thing that Israel was claiming to have, was claiming to obey, was claiming to believe. He declared himself to be that very thing. And yet, coming to his own received him not. I tell you, hon, I see the thing that bothers me about that is that I see a good deal of it, or at least an indication of it, or at least a mistake that creates ground for receiving him not. I see that in the church. In this teaching of dispensationalism, that our salvation is still very much just a promise but not yet a fulfillment. That there are the promises of God that have not yet been fulfilled in Christ with regard to those who are his body, the church. That his body, the church, is still looking for fulfillment. And much of that is in this workbook that I'm using, and a good deal of it is in this, of course, this last Seventh-day Feast, because this thing speaks of a fulfillment, speaks of a fullness, speaks of a completement, speaks of the glory of God. Oh, yes. Well, hon, none of that is yet to come. It is come in Christ. Whether you and I have come to it by faith or not may be a question, and is for many a very big question, but the fulfillment is already there. The reality of it is already there. And that very Christ, if you are born from above, is already in you. Whether you know him in that measure or not, he's the one who is in you. If you're born again, then he's in you. For if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, if any man have not Christ in his spirit, then he's none of his. That means he doesn't dwell in you. But if you are born from above, hon, then Christ dwells in you by his own eternal spirit, the Spirit of Christ. Christ in you, the fulfilled, the revealed expectation of God. Concerning what? Concerning everything. All right. Reading about this day. Again, notations for this are Leviticus 23, 27 through 32. And then in Numbers 29, 7, and then Leviticus again 16, 31. Now let me read this couple of paragraphs to you, and then I will comment, and then we'll look at the day. Like every other feast day, the Day of Atonement was a holy convocation, a Sabbath rest. No surveil work was to be done on this day. So serious was the command that if any person did any work on this day, he was to be cut off from the people of God. We could spend a long time just on that statement, that is listed here in this book. It goes on. It goes on. But why? 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 Because it was the day of reconciliation. It was the day of atonement. But what does that mean? It was the day when the high priest, the one day out of the whole year, out of the whole cycle of feasts, out of the whole cycle of all seven of the feasts, this is the one day. This is the one day that the high priest goes behind the veil. You see, our high priest didn't simply go behind the veil. He destroyed the veil. I've read books, Living Beyond the Veil, and every time I see that title, I think you need to retitle this book. And then sometimes after I read it, I say, well, no, they don't really. The veil is still hanging very muchly in their heart. We don't go behind the veil. The veil is done away in Christ. There is no veil in Christ. And you and I are in Christ. Again, if we are born from above, then we're in Christ. If we have come by Spirit baptism, then we are in Christ. If any man be in Christ, then he is a new creation. Hallelujah. Tremendous day. Tremendous day. And the high point was his going behind the veil. But the end of that high point, the conclusion of it, was him coming back out. We've talked about this before, if you remember, and appeared, showed himself to Israel as their salvation. And this is exactly what the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 9 says that Jesus did and does to those who look for him. He yet appears as full and complete salvation. And that's a revealing in you, hon. But we talked about that in some of our previous lessons. But as I was looking at this, I thought, my. No wonder it was so serious that if any person did not come on this day or worked on this day, violated this day, then they would be cut off from the people of God. Well, yes, because, what was it Paul says? Because see, with Israel, this was a day that happened one time a year. With you and I, this is the day wherein we now live. This is one of the problems I have with the religious dispensationalism theory. It depersonifies our salvation. Paul very much personifies our salvation. It's a person. He lives in you. You are his body. It is a person, a living person, the living Son of God, who gathers into himself everything that these things, these days that come and went, 24-hour days, they were a full day and a complete day to Israel. Well, honey, that's just a type and shadow. That Christ is absolutely the full day and the fullness of the day to you and I who are in him. To Israel, 24 hours was a full day. To you and I, Christ, who is not measured by days at all, is the full day. There is no other day. He being the light of that day, the glory of that day, He being the beginning and the ending of that day. And what I mean by that is the author and the finisher of our faith. He doesn't take it away. He doesn't destroy it. It doesn't come to a cessation. The end of it is the goal of it, the purpose of it. He is Alpha and Omega. Blessed be the Lamb of the living God. These feasts are wonderful if you see them in the light of the Lord Jesus. And if you don't, well, then there's something else altogether. Something else altogether. But it was a very serious day, and no doubt, it was, as this writer says, probably the most serious of these days. Well, the Day of Atonement was to be kept from evening to evening. Even to evening. I mean all day long. So you see, that's a serious thing with the Lord. But then, hon, we are in Christ. Everywhere and at all times. We're in Christ. Whether we be in these earthen vessels or not, we're in Christ. And when these earthen vessels are done away, grow old, go to dirt, we will yet be in Christ. It is a reality for our soul, the very salvation of our soul. Now we're going to talk about the day, and we're going to talk about the atonement that relates to that day. But I want to establish that the day is now Christ Himself. I'll tell you this. The day has always been Christ Himself. Do we really think that these patterns that are given in the Old Covenant, these patterns, the feast, they're patterns. The tabernacle pattern, temple pattern, priesthood patterns, all of these patterns. Do we really think that they simply pointed to what Christ would be, or were they a God-given testimony of who He was, who He has always been and shall always be? We need to stop and think about that, because I know a lot of Christians that if they did, they'd think, well, I guess I thought that, you know, that they were a testimony of one who would come. Well, that's true, as long as you don't think that they were a testimony of one who would come into existence. But he would come in manifestation of Himself, and He did. But He didn't come into being after the testimony of Him was given of God. The whole testimony was patterned upon a reality. Upon a reality. Some of the Old Testament prophets, none of which we'll go into right now, looked face to face into that reality. And it was a, you see, here's the thing. It was an eternal reality which becomes a present reality. Hallelujah. It's present when I see Him, when He's revealed in me. It's a present reality. But before He was ever revealed in me, is an eternal reality. On whether I understand, if I am born from above, if I am born again, whether I understand it or not, Christ is in me. My understanding it does not make it so, My understanding brings me to the realization of what is so. And it is, and it immediately becomes effective in my soul. But it, you understand what I'm trying to tell you? That's the reason we argue here in the Scripture and point out in the Scripture that where Paul is using the coming of the Lord as it relates to the believer, and you can look at it, the word parousia is not talking about, and it's always in connection to him being revealed in the believer, and it's not talking about in that coming of one who has not yet arrived, but it's talking about the revealing of one who is. It is a manifestation of the presence of the one who is already there. But his presence becomes manifested in our soul. Our soul becomes aware of his presence as we could never be aware except he be revealed in us. What would we call that? Well, in the light of this lesson that we're talking about, it would be talking about God hath shined in our hearts. 2 Corinthians 4:6, God hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge. Look at that, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In our hearts. How? In the face of Jesus Christ, revealing his Son, hon. We have this treasure, he goes on to say, in earthen vessels, but we've got it in earthen vessels so that we might well realize and know that it's in earthen vessels because the excellency of the power is, the excellency is of God and not of us. The earthen vessels disappear, the reality of the treasure remains. Well, glorious day, this day of atonement. It was to be kept from even to even. Well, for you and I, hon, we could take that, we could look at that, we could go to the Scripture with it. You can do that. I urge you to do it. But what you can actually write here, I'm telling you, I'm really telling you the truth. You can write here, beginning and end. Because every one of these days was a type and shadow of beginning and end, which is eternal. Every one of these days testified of the same day. It just started all over again. And then some of these days had connected with them various things that wasn't found in one of the other days. But if you sum up the things that were found in all of the days of Israel, then what you've done is summed up the all things of God that are found in the one day of the new creation. You see, hon, only on one of these feast days, this Day of Atonement, did that high priest, the Aaronic high priest, go behind the veil. But in Christ, where Christ is our high priest, even as he is our reigning king, even as he is the eternal Son of God, in Christ, where we dwell by union with him, in Christ, the whole veil is done away. And the Son of God, the Christ of God, who is the glory of God, who is the Ark of the Covenant, who is the Holy of Holies, in whom we dwell, because he prepared himself a dwelling place for you and I. You see the difference, son? This one day in Christ, the light of which, the glory of which, the rest of which, the whole of which he is eternal. So in Israel, this day of the feast had this one aspect in it, that's a tremendous aspect, made it, some would say, I agree with, the most solemn day of the whole year. But that's an everyday, I'd like to say that's an everyday occurrence in Christ. It's not really an everyday occurrence, but it is a eternal day reality. He dwells in you. Even as by his Spirit, we dwell in him. Jesus sums it up. I don't know. Maybe I said it this way the other day. I think I, but I, and I, right now I look at it that way. It may come in more clarity. When Jesus summed up, I don't think I've seen the summation of it yet, but let me just say this. He says it in John 14. He says so much there, but this one little verse he sums up when he says, in that day, as I was looking at this, I thought, man, see, that's the day that this is. Now, wait a minute. I'm not saying that that day is the day of atonement. I'm saying that the day of atonement is summed up in that day that Jesus is. He is not only reconciliation. No. But he very much and very perfectly and very fully and completely is that day. But that day is summed up in the day that he is. I don't know. I hope you're understanding what I'm trying to say. But Jesus says in that day, and he's talking about a big day, a day that comes with his coming in you. In that day, in the course of it, in the light of it, in the fullness of it, in that day, you will know that I am in my Father. Honey, what a knowing. What a knowing. Oh, my. Not factual. Not, yeah, I believe it. It's a fact. I believe. Okay, I'm glad. I'm glad you do. I think we have to do that. But that's not what he's talking about. You will know that I am in my Father. Honey, my natural mind and yours either, I can't even start to dream, start to imagine what that means. That could only be shown, revealed in the Son himself. For no man, Jesus said, no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and no man knoweth who the Father is but the Son, and those to whom he shall reveal him. Oh my, hon, we're not talking about theology here now. We're talking about knowing as we are known. Now be careful with that, because what I'm talking about is the method of knowing. We know, come to know him even as we are known of him. I'm certainly not talking about you and I becoming deity. Don't misunderstand me. You shall know that I am in the Father. Will you just think about that? Not as a doctrine, but as something that Jesus said, you shall know. Not one day when we all get to heaven and we're, you know, we take time out from walking on streets of gold, sit down and think of eternity or whatever that has become in the minds of so many people. In that day, you shall know that I'm in my Father. And then he goes on, secondly, and you are in me. And thirdly, I am in you. You shall know. You shall know. And it is that Christ living in you that is the foundation of the other. He's speaking there of an understanding given of God concerning our relation with Him. It is in the Son, by the Son, through the Son. The substance and fullness of it is the Son. What a salvation. But it relates to this day, or rather, this day relates to it. Which again, see, is another problem I have with dispensationalism. It takes all of the reality of Christ in you now out of it. And it makes it time-based. And our salvation is not time-based or time-controlled. Well, all right, all of that out of that little statement, at least in my mind, it was to be kept from evening to evening. The same truth is applicable here for other feast days and Sabbaths, yes, I would say. And this brother that wrote this evidently never really got a hold of it. Israel had to cease from their own works and rest in the work of the atonement. The work of the high priest in sanctuary service. For the believer, there is true rest in Christ's finished work. It is not by works of righteousness that we have done. And here's the little line, because what is written here is true. But it is what Christ has done. It is what Christ has done in His atoning work. And I thought about that, and that in and of itself is true, but, you know, we're always looking at something and saying it can be better said, and the Scripture says it this way, in another place. And I just thought it is actually this finished work that he does list, that he does use. You know, there is true rest in Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T apostrophe S, Christ's finished work. And that his finished work is what Christ has done. All right. But the reality of that is, and I just wrote it down here for purposes of this lesson, it is actually the rest that is there for you and I. Is actually based upon who He is that is dwelling in you. Because what He hath finished, what He hath done, what He hath finished, He Himself now is that very thing in you. Hon, the cross was not a place where Christ just did things. The cross was and is the place where Christ was made manifest as to who He is. Can you hear that? What He accomplished on the cross, He still is, because He always was. It wasn't just doing things. It was more than that. People around the cross saw things being done. But God saw the reality, the person, the true, finished, perfect work. He saw His Son as all of that. And that's why none of it can be reversed as to its reality. Oh, you can receive Him in that or not receive Him in that. But if you reject Him in that, then you have rejected that thing. And you're never going to find that thing in another one. In other words, if you reject your salvation that is set forth and manifested there in the person of the Son, then honey, you're not going to find another salvation, because there isn't any other. That's the reason Paul declares the gospel of the cross. And he never separates Christ and the cross. And he declares the cross and the preaching of the cross as the power of God and the wisdom of God, even the hidden wisdom of God. So you see, you can't put the cross in a time capsule any more than you can any of these feasts. Because when they come to Christ, time, as man knows it to be, ceases. Everything fulfilled in Christ, hon, is eternally fulfilled in Christ. So in Him we have come to an eternal day. Part, P-A-R-T, part of the testimony of that day is the day of the feast day of atonement. And we've looked at a couple of things about it. A day of holy, holy convocation. Well, it certainly is. It's a day in which only Christ lives. True. True. But he lives in you. And by that, we live in the day. Blessed be the Lamb of God. Well, thank you for being with us in this Wednesday night Bible class. I'm going to bring it to an end right here. We will continue as the Lord instructs us and enables us to do so with this Day of Atonement. Such a great day. Oh, yes. Well, the greatness of it is Christ himself. So we've got a lot of things to consider together in that Christ himself is our very life. The Lord bless. Listen, if we can help you in any way, I said a while ago and I'll say it again, please let us know. It's such a privilege to have you there with us. Why in the world? Why in the world would we want to be sitting here doing what I'm doing now and what these other brethren are doing in relation to these lessons? Why would we want to do that unless we knew somebody is there that we're talking to? And so it's a great privilege to have you there, and we appreciate it. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's about extending this gospel throughout the body of Christ around the world. That's what it's about. And we're going to be announcing before too long just another aspect of that extension of that gospel. We'll be talking to you about it. We so appreciate you from whom we hear in any way that we hear. We appreciate your prayers. Well, we'd be foolish to say we didn't have to have them. And we also appreciate you who actually support us financially, not so we can exist here in this place, but so that we may increase the outreach going out from this place, that we might increase it in every way the Lord gives us direction to do, that we may increase this outreach, and that it be increased throughout his body and around the world. Please just stand with us in prayer concerning that. It's for the sake of his body that we desire such an outcrease. So, the Lord bless you once again. If we can be of any ministry to you, please let us know. We love to hear from you, your emails, your phone calls, your questions, whatever, that we may just share together. So, the Lord bless, and we'll see you again in our Wednesday night Bible classes. As you who are there know, they're rotated from me to Rabin. Some of the other classes are with Jimmy Collins. Other classes are with Daniel and others as well. It depends on what you're watching on the website. But it is in our mind and heart to increase. Only God gives the increase of this gospel in your heart and soul through the revealing of his Son. But our desire is to increase the outreach of this gospel. And so be much in prayer with us that we will follow his direction. And be able to do that that he directs us to do. Amen. The Lord bless.